my little friend.
It's time to get in the zone.
Oh, my God. The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending, exciting, thrilling finish in the history of college football.
Down goes Frazier. Down goes Frazier.
5 seconds left in the game. Over. You believe in miracles? Yes!
The Zone is sponsored by Helena Agro Enterprises, The Fieldhouse, and Fashion Furniture.
Swung on, hit the deep center field. Bernie Williams goes back and it is.
It's Friday. It's the Field House, and you're in the zone. Here are your hosts, George Takata.
You talking to me?
And Nick Anderson.
You talking to me?
It's time to get in the zone.
What are you worried about? I'm in the zone, man.
That's right. We are in the zone on this beautiful Friday afternoon in Fresno. I am George Takata from Reedley College, where we motivate and inspire students to succeed. Great having you with us here from the Field House in the zone from 4 to 6. Well, we have another action-packed show. We got Dante Morris, former Fresno State defensive back, is going to join us. He was hanging out with NFL legends, Hall of Famers, last week. We'll let you know what he was up to with those guys, and we'll talk a little Super Bowl, big preview of the Los Angeles Rams and the New England Patriots. Andy Bogard, formerly of the Fresno Bee, now just enjoying going to wherever sporting event he pleases. We'll talk to him about retirement and everything that he's been up to, and he has been to a lot of high school events lately, so we'll talk to him about his thoughts on where high school hoops is at right now and just get his general thoughts on local sports for a few minutes in the 4 o'clock hour. And then in the 5 o'clock hour, Kyle Biggs, the Central High head coach, has had a lot of visits from neighboring colleges to look at his players, to speak to them a little bit. That's especially, you know, Fresno State's been there, Arizona State, Herman Edwards. They brought their whole staff to the Valley. Gee, I wonder why. Probably to court one of our assistant coaches, who's now part of the Sun Devil family. So we'll talk to Kyle Biggs in the 5 o'clock hour as well. A lot to get to. Big high school hoop matchup today at Clovis East, Clovis North, taking on the Timberwolves. It's very tight right now between Clovis North, Clovis East, and Clovis West. So we'll look at that as well. Big matchup in the track. That's going to be against two of the top teams in the PagMeter rankings for sure. All right, now the Derek Carr thing, everybody's been talking about it. Just heard Tony and Christopher speak about it. Now it's time for me to chime in, and that's great. You know, I don't know why people are questioning Derek Carr's work ethic. I tweeted something out that if we had one-fourth of Derek Carr's want to or work ethic or drive or motivation to do anything in life, we would be 10 times better at what we do. You can criticize the stats and his checkdowns and the fact that he, you know, sometimes gets sacked a little earlier when people think it could be scrambling more, running out of the pocket more, not going down so easily. You know, whatever. You can critique all that. Interceptions, the short dump-off passes, not throwing it deep. You know, he doesn't care. You can criticize that. That comes with the job. But when it gets a little personal and you talk about, he's mailed it in. He's not working hard. Anything about that, it's just ridiculous. It's really dumb. And I know that Derek Carr has called Stephen A. Smith and Max Kellerman clowns and challenged him to fight in the octagon. He's tweeting the UFC and Dana White and all that stuff. But I look at it this way. Derek is not going to get into the octagon fight people. Okay? He's just not going to do it. Did his emotions get the best of him when it came to that tweet? Yeah. Has he deleted that tweet, though? Not that I have seen. I didn't check it today, but I don't think he's deleted anything. So he's definitely sticking to his guns with that, even though didn't mean he's going to just physically try to beat somebody up. But that, what he did, I saw it, and I was a little surprised because it's out of his character. But let's face it, you know, if you're in the media, you're listening to me right now, I mean, that was gold for us. That's media gold. He's blocked Stephen A. Smith and Max Kellerman to begin with for comments they've made about the team. And then he hears that they're questioning his work ethic. And then he gets on Twitter and calls them clowns, challenges them to a fight. Man, that's the stuff we in the media, locally, nationally, that's good. That's gold, man. We love it. Oh, my gosh. Derek Carr's challenging Max and Stephen A. to a fight. He's tweeting the UFC. He's tweeting Dana White. Oh, we live for that. You know damn well in your respective newsrooms, my media buddies out there, that you were like, yep, we're going to lead with that. We're going to talk about that. And on the radio, it's been talked about all week. You know, Derek Carr was a guest with Golic, Mike Golic, in the morning. Everybody's talking about it. You take a regular sports week, it's just, you know, college basketball and you know, Super Bowl and talking about a little bit about the Senior Bowl and aftermath because the Raiders and Niners were the coaches in that game. And it's a regular NBA and regular stuff, you know, offseason for Major League Baseball. And then you've got this Derek Carr nugget. And let's have some fun with it. You know, we're going to talk about it all week now. This is great. This is awesome. So from the media perspective, love it. Ate it up. I get to talk about it as leading the show here. It's a topic of discussion here. And it's been a topic of discussion for a couple days. And so, no, I've seen Derek Carr for, you know, in up close and personal for 3 years at Fresno State. Work his tail off. Went through a coaching change. Went through some health struggles with his son, Dallas. But still busted his butt for his school and his teammates, his coaches, and the community. When we got drafted by the Raiders, the same old thing. Working hard in the study room. Learning the playbook, learning about his teammates, embracing the Oakland community, works hard, works hard, works hard. You can't question it. You could question Jamarcus Russell's work ethic. I saw someone on, some Raider hater now who turned into a Raider hater because they're moving to Vegas, saying, oh, Jamarcus Russell's better than Derek Carr. Clickbait, you know, you want some attention, go back to your room and hide in the corner and watch old Oakland Raiders videos, you know. It's fine. But don't be stupid. You want to question Jamarcus Russell's work ethic, that's one thing. But Derek Carr, oh, come on, man. And even on a national media level, you should know better than that. If you're a professional athlete, an elite athlete, and Derek Carr is an elite athlete, he's playing in the best football league in the world. I mean, he's got to be well-conditioned. He's got to be in shape. He's got to, you know, be at the top of his game. He's an elite athlete. Elite athletes' work ethic should never be put in question. Everybody, and if you reach the certain level, Major League Baseball, NBA, NFL, you're on the surface, you're in a group, you're an elite athlete, an Olympian, hockey player. You know, if you're at the best league in the world, you're one of the best athletes. And then there's the ones who take it to an extra, extra level. The James Hardens, the LeBrons, the Steph Currys, and the guys who are really, really. Most pro athletes' work ethic, can't question it, really. You know, they get called, the offensive linemen get called for holding, and receivers drop passes, and quarterbacks throw interceptions, and home run hitters strike out, and pitchers give up homers, and elite shooters miss, sometimes in the clutch. But it's hard to question those cream-of-the-crop athletes, cream-of-the-crop, top of their game. It's hard to question their want to. And Derek Carr is, to me, one of the best quarterbacks in the game. You know, he's not better than Aaron Rodgers, to me. Right now he's not better than Tom Brady. He's not better than Drew Brees. He's not as good as Patrick Mahomes to me. And I could say that. He's not going to get mad at me for saying that because I'm talking about performance, results. But if I go, oh, man, Derek Carr, whoa. I know he had a career high in yards and completion percentage. Man, it can, but only 19 touchdowns, slacker. Sacked 51 times, slacker. Not running out of the pocket quick enough to avoid some of those sacks. What a slacker. No. Not at all. Media gold, though. Treasure chest of talk, of sports talk that Derek generated for everybody. And, yes, I would love to see Derek Carr unblock Stephen A. and Max Kellerman and go on First Take and break down video and film. And I really wouldn't be surprised if it does happen one day. Derek's a forgiving guy, a great guy. We all know that in Fresno and Bakersfield. We know that. The charity work he does and being an MVP candidate in 2016. I'm looking at his Twitter page now. No, he didn't delete that tweet challenging those guys to a fight. There's a certain point where you could be the nicest guy in the world, but if your button's pushed, it doesn't matter who you are. You're either going to privately or publicly, like Derek did on social media, you're going to be mad. You're going to be upset. I'm not one to judge how people should react to certain things. I know I have a little bit of a short fuse. I would get mad, probably angrier than Derek, but I probably wouldn't tweet it out. That's just me. He doesn't talk trash, much trash, Derek Carr. Calling people clowns is about the pinnacle of his trash talking. It doesn't get any more elevated than that because the guy doesn't cuss. He's got some spark to him, though. He gets mad on the field when receivers don't run their routes correctly or guys miss blocks. But he's not going to cuss anybody out. I mean, calling guys clowns is about the extent of his anger or name-calling. And I was still surprised at it. And I think that there will be some sort of, I don't know when, but there will be some sort of appearance by Derek Carr on First Take someday, I just think. And I know right now the emotion is still high, and he's not going to do that. There's no way he's going to do that. But I think eventually he will do that. Maybe not now. Maybe not in 5 months from now. I think eventually you'll see him on First Take. It's just me. Because I know what kind of a guy he is, and I think he'd do it. And I think he would break down film with Stephen A. or Max. If they want to go to training camp, break down some film, go to Napa, go in a room, explain to him certain things, explain to those guys certain things. If they want, he would do it. If Stephen A. or Max Kellerman reached out and said, okay, Derek, this has kind of gone a little too far, a little crazy. We've had our fun with it. Everybody's got their opinion on it. It's been media gold for a few days. Now let's, I would love to look at film with you. Let's do it. Let's fly out, Max and I will fly out to Napa, and we'll do it. Or Oakland, and we'll do it. Or the facility in Alameda, and we'll look at stuff. I think that'll happen someday. All right, take a break. Dante Marsh, former Bulldog, former CFL star, future Canadian Football League Hall of Famer, was hanging out with some legends of the pro football game, and we'll talk to him about that, give us his thoughts on the Super Bowl, Tom Brady, the Rams, all that good stuff. We're in the zone, live from the Fieldhouse on Copper in Fresno on a beautiful Friday night. 940 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader.
You're in the zone. Sponsored by Helena Agri Enterprises, LLC, the Fieldhouse, and Fashion Furniture. Here are George Takata and Nick Anderson.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Fieldhouse will start to fill up. I know that. Great food, great place to drink at the 940. It's a strawberry whiskey sour. It's $5. Staff's got it ready to roll for you. All right, joining me live from probably Northern California somewhere, former Fresno State and Canadian Football League defensive back, two-time Grey Cup champion, future CFL Hall of Famer Dante Marsh joins us. Dante, how are you doing, man?
I'm good. George, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Now, last time I saw you, you let me wear your turnover chain at the Vegas Bowl. How much fun did you have at the Vegas Bowl watching our alma mater take care of Arizona State?
A lot of fun. It was good to see our good old Bulldogs beat up on a Pac-12 opponent. A lot of people don't respect it as much as they should, so it's always good to get a win over a Power 5 opponent.
Sure is. It doesn't matter which Pac-12 school. We'll take them on and beat them. It doesn't matter. We beat down two Pac-12 schools last year. Well, they did. I didn't have any.
And UCLA. Yes.
That's right. USC, August 31st. Can't wait for that. Now, you were hanging out. I saw you on Twitter. You're taking photos with the legend, maybe the best in the game ever, Darryl Green. You were doing some stuff with the NFLPA. Can you tell us a little bit about what you were up to?
So, yeah, I was a coaching intern with the NFLPA Collegiate All-Star football game for seniors coming out, draft-eligible seniors this year. It was a great opportunity. I got to coach the secondary. Got some great life lessons from DG, man of great faith, and played in the league a long time himself, along with Brian Cox. Mike Tyson, the head coach, and a bunch of other former players, Clinton Portis, Nate Washington, Chris Claiborne, et cetera, et cetera. We had a nasty catch. We had a great staff. Oh, and my big brother, Corey Hall, was coaching the secondary with me, too, down there. So it was a great experience.
I mean, what was it like? Darryl Green, Hall of Famer, one of the best to ever do it. I mean, just to kind of soak in some knowledge, what is the one thing he shared with you that you can share with us?
It was just living your life with purpose. It was more so life, more so than football. He expressed that he never really, you know, cared that much about football in terms of, you know, the way I love football ever since I was a little kid. Getting to the NFL was a dream and a goal for me. For him, he said it was more so just a game he was good at. He kind of got better and better. He was always a little guy, but fast. So he didn't really look at it the same way or view it from the same lens as a lot of us have viewed it or looked at it. So, you know, just talking about life, your faith, and being a person with great character.
What was it like working with those kids out there on the field? Now, you coach. You're a high school coach over at Edison High. Not the Fresno Edison High, but the Edison High up closer
Stockton,
to like
yeah.
in Stockton. But, you know, what's it like to, you know, you listening and learning from Darryl Green, Brian Cox, and then you could take what you learned from them and take it to those kids as well. What was it like for you?
It was more so this is my fourth year coaching. I did 3 years at the JUCO level, so. You know, coaching college, young men at the college level, I've kind of done that already. For me, it was more so just doing my thing, like coaching. With the pro guys, obviously everybody, you know, Mike Tyson's real cool. You know, you get your work done, we have our meeting, and we chilling, you know, cigar bar and everything else. So, me doing what I do. And that's, you know, fundamentals and teaching the young guys how to you know, technique. I was able to go in and do my thing. It really wasn't, like I said, B. Cox and those guys, they let me do my thing. It wasn't, no, I'm just sitting there looking. You know what I mean? I was actually doing what I do. So the thing that I learned a lot was just from the other side of it, you know, the coaching, you know, part of it in terms of getting the film done, long meetings, which I was a part of as a player for 12 years, NFL, CFL. So as a coach, it was a little more laid back than what I'm accustomed to in terms of the JUCO level and now high school. Got our work done and we were able to kick it. So it just being, you know, the time constraints, I would say. Everything is right. Boom, 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 get your work done and you're cool. So and we condensed and put a lot of stuff in a short amount of time over those 8 days. It was just everything was on schedule and it was smooth. Also, Ricky Manning was out there too, so it was like a little get together for myself.
You, Ricky, and Corey, how the hell did you guys get any work done? You, three of you
we got work done. It was more so, it was cool, man. Like, you're down there, these are all our peers, right? Mm-hmm. So, you get down there, the NFL put on a great event. We stayed in the Plush Hotel, downtown LA. They gave us gobs and stuff, Nike apparel, and they just took care of us. And it was a great situation for me to like say, this is Daryl Green, man. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I had to get with him early on and talk to him and chop it up and kind of pick his brain. So that was good. And just along with Brian Cox, Mike Tyson, the older guys, man, it was just a beautiful situation. But in terms of me, Ricky, Corey, we'll get together in the hotel room a couple of times and go over, just the DB stuff. Because, we all coach. So it's all about getting to the next level in our coaching career. So we were down there doing work.
Dante Marsh is our guest, former Bulldog and future CFL Hall of Famer. You waiting for that call? Are you excited? It's like inevitable you're going to get the call to the CFL Hall of Fame. But do you think about it often and wonder when it's going to happen?
No, not as much. Like I said, I've been blessed and fortunate to get to have a Hall of Fame career up there and my one season in the NFL. So, like I said, the thing that I'm most happy with is the fraternity that I'm in, mm-hmm. due to the football world. It's opened up so many more other doors for me. Like I said, I'm 39, I'm 40 next month, and I've been on scholarship my whole life, pretty much. So, yeah, I mean, the CFL thing, it'll take care of itself. I'm not really concerned about it. I'm really focused on what I'm doing here in terms of my coaching career and my training business on the side. So, and finishing raising my soon-to-be 17-year-old son. So, I'm not losing any sleep. It'll happen. Gotta make it happen. And when it happens, people who need to come, let's go.
There you go. Super Bowl, Rams, Patriots in Atlanta. You called Tom Brady the GOAT, and so have I. I mean, I was convinced after the Super Bowl last year. If I wasn't
right.
convinced before anyway. How do you see this game shaping up? A lot of people think it should be the Saints and the Patriots because the Rams got a gift from that non-call on the PI. First of all, talk about that PI call. You were probably, if I know you, you probably got up out of your seat and was wondering where the flag was, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's pass interference. I mean, it's blatant. But there were missed calls throughout the game, so that game should never come down to that one call.
Right.
On top of that, if you cannot harass Tom Brady, if you stand straight up in that pocket, he's untouched and unmolested, for lack of a better term, he's going to beat you. That's just what it is. I would like for the Rams to be successful because one of my high school alma maters, player that went to my high school, Marcus Peters, obviously from Oakland, California, plays for the Rams. So I would like to see him get a Super Bowl ring, but I say the Patriots win this game if Tom Brady is untouched in that pocket.
That's where you credit to the offensive line for the Patriots. It's kind of we don't give him enough credit. I don't think this is a man's 41 years old. Now, when I think we got a 41-year-old quarterback who's not very mobile, should be relatively – you should get a sack or two at least against a guy like that. But how tough is that line, though, to try to get through? I mean, you got to give those five guys a lot of credit.
Oh, absolutely. You got to give credit where credit's due. I mean, the offensive line is doing their job. Bill Belichick knows what he's doing. He rarely makes splashes in free agency or on draft day. And he just, for whatever reason, he's able to find gems like third round, fourth round, fifth round, sixth round, free agent. You're a wide receiver. I need an extra DB. Come play DB. Like, he's just real good at managing his roster and I guess it's what they call the Patriot way. So all those guys, have bought in to the program and the organization and you can see it. The success, I mean, the last 20 years, like the team of the they are the epitome of what pro football should be.
What do the Rams need to do to win this game? I think Jared Goff's going to have to play really well. And obviously, the running game, Todd Gurley, and with C.J. Anderson out of nowhere, got him off free agency and has really been effective. What do the Rams need to do to win this game?
I think you got to get pressure. Mm-hmm. George, you have to make Tom Brady get real uncomfortable in the pocket. The teams that have been able to get pressure and, you know, create hurries and throw the timing off, they've been able to be successful. Obviously, Gurley going to have a good day. And I would like to see the kid from Stockton, the receiver, stretch the field and they have some, you know, some splash plays. So if the D-line, you know, all that money that the Rams have paid for that defense, you know, with a key to lead and some of the guys up front with Aaron Donald and the rest of those guys, and if they can do their job, it should be a real competitive game.
Yeah, I just want to see a competitive game, that is for sure. What, Tom Brady, this is ninth Super Bowl. I can't believe that. Him and Bill Belichick, are they the greatest head coach quarterback duo of all time?
Yeah, okay, so I'm going to say this. Born and raised in Oakland, California, I am a diehard Raider fan, and just for the record, I was 4 years old when they moved, so I was coherent of what was going on in Oakland before L.A. borrowed our team. Now, being born and raised in Oakland and in the Bay Area, I had the chance to watch that San Francisco 49ers team with Bill Walsh and then Joe Montana and then Seifert and Steve Young and those things like that. Now, Joe Montana was the GOAT, in my opinion, right? Tom Brady, another Bay Area native, he's the GOAT, man. I don't care about Deflategate. I don't care about, you know, the unfortunate play when Charles Woodson sacked fumbled him in the snow. Listen, man, that man could throw tennis balls, frisbees, bottles, darts. It don't matter. He's the best to ever do it.
Uh-huh.
And he's doing it in the salary cap era without a stacked team or a true number one receiver. For the only time in his career he had a true number one elite receiver, he threw 50 touchdowns when Randy Moss was there, and they went 18 straight games.
Yeah. And
so I don't know how you argue against that.
I don't think you can. At least, you know, you could say you're a diehard Raider fan just like me. At least Tom Brady's from the Bay Area, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You can claim that. When you talk about defenses – we talked about Fresno State's defense and all that, but when you look at defense, I'm sure you watch that side of the ball. And we all know about the Rams and Aaron Donald, Dominican Sue, and Keith Tlaib, and Oakland's very own Marcus Peters. He's very, very Oakland, no matter where he is.
Absolutely.
But that Patriots, that Patriots defense, Dante, I can't name five guys. What is it that they do that is so good?
That's the beauty of it. Like it's great managing skills. Mm-hmm. The thing now that I'm in my fourth year of actually coaching post playing, what I understand, you know, I had a long conversation with Pat Hill and Kevin Coyle, and I see, you know, all the little stuff they used to talk about that I thought was BS. As a young, you know, teenage and young man, a young adult playing the game that I thought was, you know, minuscule and didn't really, and minute, didn't really matter, it matters. All the little things matter, right? So the Patriots just, Bill Belichick does a great job of managing his roster and managing how they prepare and how they perform and just an expectation. I think that's the biggest thing, is the expectation, no matter what year it is, what the roster look like, it's still the same expectation, and it's high. So I don't know the secret formula, but he gets it done, and it's the same, you know? And he's done a phenomenal job when you talk about the lack of talent he has had. And I don't, by no means am I disrespecting any of the players. I'm just saying a lot of those guys, like, geez, you can't even name them. They're not household name guys.
Nope.
But they're getting it done. The ultimate prize is being obtained by guys buy in. Mm-hmm. And they're doing it collectively, and they're getting the job done. I mean, he has to be top three head coaches of all time.
Has to be. let's put you back on the field in a Raider uniform real fast and take any quarterback ever in NFL history or CFL history for that matter. Who would you want to pick a pass off from the most?
Ooh, that's not an easy question. You got Dan Marino, you got Joe Montana, you got John Elway.
Would you want to pick Tom Brady off just because of the tough game?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm in the Raiders uniform. Absolutely, I gotta pick it off, and the guy has to pick six.
Pick six, Tom
and
Brady,
it has to be an AFC championship bet.
and like a in overtime, so it's like a walk off.
Yeah. And it would have to be at the Coliseum, and I'm probably, you know, my whole check will probably go to tickets.
Well, there you go. And then you jump in the black hole, but you got to save the ball.
Absolutely.
You got to keep the ball.
Absolutely.
Final thought with you, and then we'll let you roll out. You're pursuing your master's degree, and you're coaching high school right now, like you said. So what is the ultimate goal for you coaching-wise? I know you like it at Edison a lot. They've given you a great opportunity up there in Stockton. But where do we see you coaching in about, 5 years?
Well, in the very near future, I've had some Division I opportunities that I kind of had to, I wouldn't say turn down, but really couldn't take because I didn't want to bounce my son around. He'll be a senior next year, so I want to kind of get him through. But there's been some conversations and some opportunities. So I would say D1 or pro game in the very near future.
You want to move to Vegas?
I mean, my dream scenario.
The Las Vegas Raiders or the Fresno State.
No, because they could. No. I hate that whole situation. But here's the deal.
Yeah.
My dream situation for the very, very near future would be to coach at Fresno State.
There you go.
Like
that's the ultimate
my alma mater. That's that for me because it's still only 3 hours away from Oakland.
Uh-huh.
I can recruit the hell out of the area from the Bay, from Sacramento to the Bay Area to the Valley. I could do that to L.A. I could do it. I went there. I know what Bulldog football is. I was a part of Pat Hill's first recruiting class. I know what we built up and how it carried over. And it's back to the same because there's a lot of familiar faces. Obviously, J.D., my D.B. coach is there. Tedford's there. Scotty. It was my tight ends on the staff, so it would just be a dream situation for me.
Well, there you go. I would love to see that. I think that would be fantastic. What about your Fresno State and then the Raiders? You know, you could do both.
Hey, the sky's the limit, right?
You know, how can they beat you if they can't outwork you? That is the slogan for Dante Marsh.
They can't.
Okay, now I'll let you promote your product. You like to use that bucked up stuff. What is that stuff, and how can we get discounts on that?
So I got endorsed by a supplement company, BAS Labs, about 2 years ago, and it's they're the creator of deer antler spray and some other supplements. You can go to www.buckedup.com and order all the products. And use Dante 20 for a discount at checkout. I'll be 40 next month, and I walk around and look like I'm 25. So the proof is in the pudding.
Proof is in the pudding. Hey, and I want to thank you for volunteering your time next month, Black History Month, for speaking at Reedley College. Once we submit that date down, we actually do have that date. It's February 12th.
The 12th.
Looking forward to it. 2 o'clock at the Reedley College Student Center. If you want to hear Dante speak about his career and all that great stuff, come on out and see him at Reedley College. We appreciate that, man. Thank you.
Absolutely. I appreciate you, George, like always, man. It's been good, man. You've always been good to me. So whenever you call me and need me, you know it's good.
All right. Well, that'll never change, man. Thank you, and we'll talk to you soon, Dante. Appreciate it, man.
Okay.
All right. Dante Marsh joining us. Take a break. We will have Andy Bogard, 5 o'clock hour, Kyle Biggs, about 5:15, 5:30. Talk about the Warriors who are crushing another team. Actually, it's an 11-point lead. It's not that bad yet, but it will get worse, guaranteed. This is The Zone, live from the Fieldhouse in Fresno, 940 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader.
You're in the zone. Sponsored by Helena Agri Enterprises, LLC, The Fieldhouse, and Fashion Furniture. Here are George Takata and Nick Anderson.
All right, welcome back to The Fieldhouse. In the zone, George Takata. Those great sponsors that we have, including Reedley College, where we motivate and inspire students to succeed. Thank you for joining me. I made a mistake. Thank you, Russell, for pointing it out. The Warriors, this is a replay. They beat the Wizards last night. I didn't watch television yesterday, so thank you for the clarification. But, yeah, they're up 52-41 in the second with 5:11 to go. But it's the replay on NBC Sports Bay Area. But I want to talk about the Warriors anyway. I think they're going to lose, barring any injuries, they're going to lose five more games in the regular season. That's it. It's the best starting five probably in the history of the NBA. You got Steph Curry's going to be a Hall of Famer. You got Kevin Durant's going to be a Hall of Famer. Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, DeMarcus Cousins, All-Stars, Olympians. They're all. We got two guys who are for sure Hall of Famers, three guys who are perennial All-Stars, and all five of them have played on the Olympic team. Any other team in the league history can say that? Not even the Bulls with Jordan and Pippen and Rodman can say that because they had Tony Kukoc and guys like that. It's just amazing. I knew that if DeMarcus Cousins was back to 100%, that this is what we were going to see. And you can look in at the schedule online on ESPN.com and go to the Warriors schedule, and you'll see a bunch of green W's that are going to go very all the way down your screen. W, W, W. I mean, I don't know. No one's going to beat them. They're going to be the NBA champions. If anybody does, it'll be, if anybody can beat them in a seven-game series, it's not going to happen, but if any team does it, it's going to be a miracle. I mean, it really is. You can say it's not fair, and you can say it's, you know, people are chasing titles or whatever, but so what? That is legal. It is okay to fulfill your obligation with a previous team and go play for any team you want for whatever money you want. It doesn't matter. That's legal. And whether you think, oh, that's not fair, well, whatever. DeMarcus Cousins sustained an Achilles injury that cost him millions of dollars for now. And so he said, you know what? I'm just going to shock everybody and go to Golden State on a one-year minimum deal and prove myself all over again. And these guys have won 9 straight and 11 of 12. And they have not lost since DeMarcus Cousins has been back, and that's only 3 games in. They've got a tough stretch. On the East, they're at Boston. Indiana's surprising. And then they come home and host Philly, the Lakers, and the Spurs. And I don't see them losing to any of those teams whatsoever. I'm looking down the line, and I can see the Indiana game on paper, if you look at the standings, interesting. But I just think they're going to shove them aside like rag dolls. The only game I'm looking forward to really with the Warriors is when they take on Houston Saturday, February 23rd in Oakland on a nationally televised game on ABC. And James Harden's going to score 78 points, and they're going to lose to the Warriors 148 to 122. It's going to be something like that. It's just ridiculous. It's fun to watch if you love offense. It's really fun to watch if you're a Warriors fan. And enjoy it now while you can, because as Tony and Christopher alluded to on their program, on Tony's show before mine, that Durant and Cousins more than likely are going to be gone. definitely one of them is going to be gone. There's no doubt about it. The Warriors can't afford to keep them all. So this is a run. You're about to see a run of incredible proportions. Right now, they are 34-14, and I think they're only going to lose maybe five more times in a regular season. You know, they'll have a slip up. I'm looking for it right now. I'm trying to find where it would. Maybe at Philly, March the 2nd. Yeah, I can see that. You know, at Oklahoma City, March 16th. I can see them losing that. But you know, that's two. Maybe Denver. Maybe when LeBron comes back, when they play the Lakers, April the 4th at Staples. Maybe not even five losses. But they're not going to lose more than seven. It's just not happening. So, I mean, it really, as fun as it is to watch, and as a Sacramento Kings fan, I go look at this and I'm just like, you know what? The Kings aren't going to win a title anyway, so I'm just going to sit back and enjoy this Warrior domination. I mean, I'm trying to compare it to something. It's kind of like, it would be kind of like watching, I don't know, let's go Fresno City basketball play like a top high school team. Like, or something like, let's go, like, Clovis East playing junior high team, an eighth grade team. It's just, you know, it's just, you know what the outcome is going to be 99.9% of the time with these guys. And then their bench, you know, Livingston, Iguodala, it doesn't slow down when they put in their bench pieces to mix in with some of the starters. They run, they gun, it's fun to watch, they shoot threes, they've got future Hall of Famers, they've got All-Stars, Olympian. I'm just enjoying it. I mean, my team's not going to win the championship anyway, and no one else's team is going to win it anyway. So, might as well just enjoy it while it lasts, because next year it's going to be completely different. Be a little more wide open. But I would love to see Oklahoma City. If it's not the Warriors, I'd love to see my man Paul George win a championship. It's just not going to happen this year. Paul George, Russell Westbrook, those guys are fun to watch too. And when the Thunder play the Warriors, that's must-see TV for me. You know, that's must-see TV. Watch it live and then DVR it and watch it again. That's fun. But if injuries do happen, and so I'm saying all this barring injury, they're going to lose only five more games in a regular season. Who knows in the playoffs? First round, they'll sweep whoever. And then second round, maybe they'll lose once. And then the Western Conference Finals, they might lose once, maybe twice. Go to the NBA Finals and sweep whoever that is. It's just the way it's going to be. And that's, of course, that's an opinion. But if you want to argue it with me, at George Takata on Twitter. I don't know what the odds are in Vegas of the Warriors winning the championship. I don't know what those are, but it's got to be like 1-2 or something like that. If you put $100 down for the Warriors to win the championship, you might get $102 back, because it's really not that daunting of a bet. Way to go out on a limb picking the Warriors to win the NBA Finals. Back to the Super Bowl, and Dante Marsh predicts the Patriots are going to win, and I think they're going to win too. And with that said, the Rams are going to win it, because I usually pick the wrong champion. And we will have Maureen Brady, Tom Brady's older sister, on again next week. I'm efforting Henry Ellard to talk to him about the Super Bowl. Rams legend, former Bulldog, should be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. As much as I am in awe of the Warriors' dominance, it's very Tom Brady-ish. And the Patriots' dominance, led by Gronk, Brady, Belichick, and Julian Edelman, amazing. Those guys, tremendous. And yes, I do think New England will beat the Rams in the Super Bowl, and I think it'll be another close one. Because the Rams, the Patriots and all their Super Bowls really haven't been blown out. They haven't been blown out, and they haven't won by blowout margins. So you know the Super Bowl is going to be a really good game. All right, got to hit that Sports Center. Andy Bogard, Kyle Biggs, they'll be joining me in the 5 o'clock hour live from the Fieldhouse in Fresno, 940 ESPN, in the Zone, the Valley's local sports league.
To get in the zone.
Oh my God! The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending, exciting, thrilling finish in the history of college football.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
The Zone is sponsored by Helena Agro Enterprises, The Fieldhouse, and Fashion Furniture.
Swung on, hit the deep center field. Bernie Williams goes back and in.
It's Friday. It's the Fieldhouse, and you're in the Zone. Here are your hosts, George Takata.
You talking to me?
And Nick Anderson.
You talking to me?
It's time to get in the zone.
What are you worried about? I'm in the zone, man.
We are in the zone, live from the Fieldhouse on Copper. George Takata, formerly of CBS 47 KC24, loved my career there, but really loved my career at Reedley College, marketing director. Where we motivate and inspire students to succeed. Andy Bogard on his way in, formerly the Fresno Bee, but still dabbles with the talking about sports on Twitter. He'll join us in a little bit. Kyle Biggs, Central High head football coach. We'll talk about all those visits he received from big-time universities looking at his program. When you win, and when Fresno State has a coach that you want to steal away, you come visit. Arizona State, Oregon, Fresno State, all visiting with the Grizzly Nation, which was really fun to see. I just see these constant tweets of thank you for visiting our program, talking to our kids. Thank you for visiting our program. Like, wow, that's big time. Big time. All right, so we alluded to Super Bowl 53 in Atlanta, Rams, Patriots. And I was speaking about New England. I think they're going to win it, which would be Tom Brady's 6th Super Bowl championship. But what do the Rams have to do? As Dante Marsh alluded to in the 4 o'clock hour, the Rams are going to have to put some pressure on Tom Brady somehow. And I think they're going to have to run the ball very effectively with the best running back. When you have the best running back in the game, Todd Gurley, I mean, shouldn't be an issue, right, if he's healthy. The run opens up the pass. And as much as the Patriots last week, you know, did their part to try to keep Patrick Mahomes and that high-octane Chiefs offense off the field. That's what the Rams have to do. They have to keep Tom Brady off the field. He's just too good in the postseason situations like this. Just got to avoid losing the time of possession battle if you're the Rams. And you've got the perfect weapon to do it with the best running back in the game, in Todd Gurley. So if the Rams' O-line can open up holes, Todd Gurley has a big game. And you have Ndamukong Suh and Aaron Donald on your line. You know, this will be the toughest D-line the Patriots will have faced all season. You got those two rushing up the middle. You should be able to apply some pressure. on Tom Brady. Right? I know New England's offensive line has just been fantastic, but when you're paying Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh a combined, what, $40-plus million, they had better create some havoc up the middle to that Patriots offensive line and force Tom Brady out of the pocket. Make him roll out. Make him throw on the run. Make him do something other than be comfortable and threaten the needle to Julian Edelman, Rob Gronkowski, Chris Hogan, checking down to his backs. I mean, you paid these guys on defense so much money for a reason. And this is your reason. Next Sunday in Atlanta. You know, but before that, we've got an incredible Pro Bowl game I can't wait to watch. It's the worst All-Star game in sport. It's too easy, but I'd rather see him play flag. I really would. Just go play some flag football. I mean, you guys don't tackle. They don't tackle anybody hard. And I know there's incentive at the end. It only gets competitive at the end if it's close. Derek Carr last year led the AFC to a game-winning drive, and there was like a bonus of what? A couple extra thousand if they won. So the only way the Pro Bowl is fun to watch is if it's competitive and there's some extra bucks on the line at the end. That's it. That's all there is to it. So, but for the Patriots to win, it's the exact, you know, opposite. They have to contain the run game. You know, Jared Goff is new at this whole postseason / Super Bowl thing, so rattle him for sure. And if you can force him to make some mistakes, and Tom Brady's on the field for the majority of the time, you got yourself a W. And that Patriots defense is underrated. And I just think it's going to be a good game. It's going to be close. As much as we talk about these keys, it really is not going to create a blowout win by either team. It's going to be close no matter what the strategy is, no matter what we say. I think it's going to be tight. These two championship games, the one seed against the two seed, you know, both road teams winning. You know, regardless of what you say about, you know, the Saints getting robbed or whatever, this is some good football game. The two overtime championship games, you can't beat it. That was a lot of fun because it made up for the crap that we saw the weeks before. Not fun. Not fun, those playoff games before. You know, the Patriots-Chargers game was a dud. The Colts-Chiefs was a dud. I mean, it's very, very predictable. You know, every time the Texans are in the postseason, I don't even watch it. I think it's just boring. And I know they've got DeAndre Hopkins. And just not fun. And the Patriots make it that way. They make it not fun because they've been so dominant. People are just sick and tired. And, boy, if we could just see some team win other than the Patriots. And then they get the Chiefs are at home. And, you know, if you don't have any skin in the game and the Chiefs, the Patriots aren't your favorite team, and you want to watch Kansas City just roll up on New England. Anybody but New England. Well, Patrick Mahomes, they're at home. Their offense is electric. They do enough on defense. It's going to be cold. But New England likes the cold weather anyway. They're used to it. It doesn't matter. The weather wouldn't have played a factor in either way. It was still a high-scoring game. But you just, everybody was pulling, even Raider fans. You, Tuck game, yeah, I don't know, I guess that's just the one time, a lot of my friends, this is the one time as a Raider fan I'm going to root for the Chiefs. Because I'm so sick and tired of Tom Brady and the Patriots winning all the time. And you know what? They feed off of that. And even Brady and Gronk had a video after the game, a little selfie video of them getting on the bus with the song and kind of mocking everybody. Hey, look at us. Hey, you don't like us, but look at us now. We're back. 365 days ago, approximately, you were hating us then, too, and you really hate us now. And for me, as I get older as a sports fan, it's not really hate. It's just sports, man. It's entertainment, and sure, I would love to see my teams win. But I'm not going to, like, light jerseys on fire, get in fights in the stands. I mean, I'm not that much in that fully invested in it. Now, I'm in 100%, but I don't take it to the extreme levels of ridiculousness that some people do. Like, Twitter's great because you can see all sorts of stupidity. People breaking their TV sets, lighting their jerseys on fire, screaming at the top of their lungs at the TV, you know, cussing, cussing out play calls, cussing out refs. Being a fan, it really brings out the worst in a lot of people. And for me, I get a kick out of it now. Now, when I was younger, that Tucker Rule, I was in Vegas. I watched it at the ESPN Zone with a bunch of Raider fans. I threw my hat across the bar, screamed at the top of my lungs, cussed a little bit. I mean, I was that guy. But not to the extreme of I can't wait to go home and kick the dog and take an Easton aluminum bat to my Sony. You know, it's just not – it was never that extreme. But I was in Vegas, and they lost, and I had a few more adult beverages than I normally did because it was depressing. And then there's the sheer jubilation of winning. You're going nuts. That's the fun stuff, you know, screaming at the top of your lungs. You lost your voice because you're screaming, cheering, high-fiving fans next to you. I remember when the A's won the West for the first time, and they weren't supposed to win diddly. I was in San Diego. I bought a bottle of champagne, poured it over my head. I mean, that's fun. But I didn't buy the bottle until after the game. If they would have lost, they would have drank. But fans are crazy. I mean, you know, I see fans, parents in stands at high school games going nuts, you know, yelling at refs, coaches, crazy. So the extreme levels of fandom that people have for their teams is really, really out of this world. And look who joining me now. You know, now you only have 3 minutes, Andy Bogart, to talk to me, and then we'll have to let you go. Formerly of the Fresno Bee, good friend of mine, Andy. How you doing?
Good to Wonderful.
See you. Good to see you.
Beautiful day.
Beautiful day.
Nice show. Looking forward to Kyle coming on.
Well, you could talk to him, too.
Yeah.
You're going to join me for the remainder of the show. We can both ask him questions.
Yeah.
So what's it been like, you know, after working for the Fresno Bee? I've seen you at a couple of things, and you just get to pick and choose whatever you want to do now. How much fun are you enjoying retirement?
Well, you know, I sort of did when I was working, too. But that was... But
yeah, you liked it either way. Yeah,
I cherry pick now. You know, I hadn't been out to many games in the winter season, and then you know, went out to use saw what Clovis East, and Clovis West boys basketball, and then a Clovis West, Clovis North girls basketball, and then and then a Clovis Buchanan
wrestling,
and then Bullard Memorial boys basketball. And that's what I miss, George. You know, there's a passion up here for high school sports. Now, those were primo games,
yeah.
But those were four-pack gyms. Mm-hmm. And with the whole deal, there's the student bodies and the cheerleaders and the light shows. And it's we have that, and we've had it for really 100 years in the central section, Central Valley. And then you add to it, you know, the coaching level with Adrian and Wahlberg and Craig Campbell and these guys. It's a very high level of coaching at a high level of talent with mm-hmm. a high level of interest and passion. And, you know, you mix all that together, and that's a nice formula.
Now, have you seen enough Division I basketball to formulate an opinion as to who you think the top teams are and who's got the better chance of going to Selland? I mean, you've got the Clovis West, North, East, Bullard, those guys.
Yeah, and then Bakersfield has a good team down there. But then now you don't mix in the Central Coast, you know, yeah. Rogue, Grandy, St. Joe. Those are teams that are going to be real competitive. So, and, you know, Vance will tell you that, Adrian will tell you that, Wiggins, that Yeah, that's seven teams, and that's not even mentioning an Edison.
No, who upset or beat Clovis East last weekend.
Yeah, I mean, so you can. That's always a program that's been there a long time, and so depending on a seed, do you play at home? But it's as deep as maybe ever to go sometimes two or three teams, but mm-hmm. six or seven.
Yeah.
Which is good in that road to Selland. And again, there'll be, what do we have, 2 weeks left and then the seeding. Mm-hmm. And that'd be real bad. And it's going to be a difficult thing when A's beating B and C's beating A and B's beating D. You know, that kind of combination, that makes for really good seeding. But the coaches now, people remember that. Now they're turning in. It's very coaching driven now, the seeding. Mm-hmm. And that makes it easier on Critchlow and Cardozo and the men in the suits down in Porterville.
Now, which coast, we've got to hit the break, but real quick, which team from the coast lost to Paso last night? Kind of jumbled things up a little bit. I think it was St. Joe's that lost to Paso
maybe
Robles.
I didn't see that. I could take a look. But Arroyo Grande was really going well, and St. Joe beat them bad. So now you mix Paso in the mix, which they have a really good program. It's a former Clovis Unified and Central administrators over there. So they really got that going. But
yeah, Paso over St. Joe's last night, 87-84. So
yeah, and so that's what's going to happen there is you can knock each other off. But at the end, a league champion is going to, you know, get precedent in seeding.
Yep.
But you better win your league.
Better do
you
it.
Know, so regardless of head-to-head along the way. And, geez, Memorial going over to Bullard and tying that thing up, that makes a big difference. Bullard had a couple of real good wins, but they still do. They still do, and they're playing really well. And so, yeah, D1 is going to be boys basketball going to be a real interesting road to Selland.
I know.
You know, the top two seeds, okay, you're going to Selland, neutral court.
Yeah.
So, okay, all that means is a one's going to play maybe a four and a two will play a three. So maybe you get a little edge there, but I don't think so this year.
No.
I don't think so. To get that, there's so many that are so, that parity sure seems to be. Some teams are playing better now, and it's good to play better in February than you did in December.
That's it. That's the goal is to get to Selland in February. It used to be March, but they moved the season up a little bit. All right, we got to hit the break. Come back. We'll have more with Andy Bogard. Talk all things local sports. Maybe a little Derek Carr calling people clowns and whatnot. Live in the zone from the Fieldhouse, 940 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader.
You're in the zone. Sponsored by Helena Agri Enterprises, LLC, The Fieldhouse, and Fashion Furniture. Here are George Takata and Nick Anderson.
Well, Nick Anderson looks a lot like Andy Bogard these days. joining me here from the Fieldhouse here in the zone. Fieldhouse on Copper. Got the whole plate of nachos, Andy. It's just teasing us.
Screaming.
Right,
screaming at us.
Screaming, come on before I get cold. The big news, even nationally, well, nationally, locally, of course, because it's Derek Carr, not really liking Stephen A. Smith and Max Kellerman's questioning his work ethic. And I saw Derek say, you know, you can critique my performance and whatever, but you don't get over and critique my work ethic and my want to, as he said. Called him clowns on Twitter, threatening to fight him, put him in an octagon, tweeting the UFC. Out of character, but what are your thoughts on Derek's reaction to all of that?
Well, with both David and Derek, you don't see George a lot, not to say there isn't a lot of professional athletes with faith, but mm-hmm. the Carrs have always made it very clear, their spiritual mm-hmm. side and a Christian man. And that is, in general, I find, kind of held against them. Nationally, it's just, unfortunately, they're wonderful, they're true to their faith, mm-hmm. and they stand behind it, and they don't hide behind it. And I just think that in this place, in this case with Smith and these guys, they give them a shorter rope. I just really firmly believe that, that media in general, they just don't tend to support people that just stand behind their family. I just, in general, and like at one time, okay, did Derek cry on the field?
No,
this year?
No, he didn't.
It's that kind of stuff that he's not going to catch many breaks. I'm not saying for sure. I don't know that that's what's behind all this, but I'm just saying in general, same thing happened with Trent Dilfer.
Mm-hmm.
That they just are given a shorter leash and by media, and that can lead to sort of this thing. And then Derek is not one to pull the trigger quickly and say things that he doesn't mean, and that they say things that aren't from his heart. But in this era, you know, you make those kind of comments, and they're going to fly. But I'll stand behind the cars and their integrity.
Mm-hmm.
And for those who know them well, like we do, it's easy to do.
Yeah, I mean, and calling somebody a clown is about as lethal as Derek will get.
Yes.
When it comes to name-calling people. That's about as far as it's going to go. Now, I predict that down the road, because I know Derek's heart and his faith is strong, that, you know, once the water is simmering and not boiling anymore, that I think you can see him reaching out maybe, or the other way around. And you'll see Derek Carr and Max Kome and Stephen A. Smith have a discussion, maybe have him on the show. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, he'll always be willing.
Yeah.
He's faithful to this area. He always will be from here to Bakersfield, if not the Bay Area to Bakersfield. He did the same thing from Vegas to Fresno. So he'll they'll always have Fresno and Central Valley as a priority. That, sure, let the waters calm. Let the white caps kind of, you know, it's anyone can, I've always said, anyone can steer a ship in calm waters, but when there's white caps, that's to see how they do then. So let things calm a bit. But he'll come back. He'll talk about it. He won't run from it.
Nope, not at all. All right, so we'll touch on this subject. The tweet you sent out, was it Sunday, that you heard that Kendall Milton, great running back, the best running back in the Valley, in my opinion, at Buchanan. You sent out a tweet that you heard through the grapevine, so to speak, that he was thinking about maybe transferring to modern day. The family quickly shot that down. Kendall shot that down by saying, I'm staying at Buchanan. Took a lot of heat for that. I mean, but what are your thoughts on how that all developed? And, of course, you don't give away your sources. We're not asking you to do that.
Yeah.
But the whole process and everything that happened afterwards.
Yeah. Well, I'll say this up front, George. I'll apologize to the Miltons. You know, it's really not like me to take rumor or hearsay and run with it. But if I had to do it over again, I probably wouldn't have. What it was a reminder, although I'm not denying, and the people that I talked to in my career were spot on, like 100% of the time. Okay, they were. So, and there is talk. And that's all I said. I said there's talk out there. And there is talk out there. That is a fact. So, but it was a reminder to me, George, of our market. This is, and you should know that, this is a conservative market. There are some areas around the country that something like this, that thing would be tweeted and Instagrammed and Facebook every day.
Every day.
Yeah, when you get that level of a talent, that level of a recruit, this is a different market. And so it turned out to be a really hot button.
Yeah.
And very sensitive. And you know, let's wait till kickoff. And not that I'm denying or what the Miltons are saying, but there is that there's definitely that talk out there, and it's unusual for our, you know, the high caliber athletes in this area and in Central Valley. All of a sudden, whoa, Mission Viejo, Modern Day, we just don't see that, we don't hear that. So that, I guess, that's what really struck me, and I know for a fact there is that talk, and you wonder, where did that begin? What's the contact? But regardless, they're firm in that that he'll stay here, and good for Buchanan Bears and good for Central Valley. It's a very
Matt.
good family. Yeah, yeah. Not that you can't use a few breaks at Buchanan, you know, in football. And so
I will say this.
Yeah,
there aren't too many athletes around here that could transfer to the school like that.
That's correct.
There are very few.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's kind of a compliment that, hey, that there's buzz out there and someone's saying it. There's smoke, there's fire sometimes. But for someone to say, hey, Kendall Milton, we want Kendall Milton in modern day, hey, you know, that's not a bad thing.
No, no, no. That's arguably modern day in Santa Ana, arguably the most powerful high school institution in the United States. So, yeah, that is quite flattering. But I should add here, when you're at that level of Kendall Milton, this is going to happen again. I mean, in your career, you're going to run into such, especially with social media the way it is.
It's
and
a whole
it
different
is,
ball game.
It is a whole different ball game. And I bet when maybe I shouldn't have. And again, I said it right up front. I apologize to Mr. Milton and the family. If I had to do it again, I probably wouldn't have done it. Just in part because of our market, and in respect to the family, and in respect to the family. And it sure was his hearsay. And I didn't say he's going there, but there is talk. Boy, and that's all it took.
Well, they're saying he's staying, and I'm glad because I love watching that kid play.
Yeah.
And we're going to get one more year of it because I am predicting him not staying here and playing at Fresno State. We're going to get one more year of him here in the Valley, and then we can watch him on national TV somewhere. But I just think it's great that he's going to remain a Buchanan Bear, and I think that was the plan all along. But covering prep sports, is there like a football player that stands out for you that you covered that's like, man, must see every Friday night, got to go watch him?
You know, it's interesting you would say that in a couple weeks. A year ago, it's interesting you say that. A year ago, Clovis West started a baseball Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And they had it was the Mike and Mike show, Mike Noel and Mike Cola. Well, this year, McKay Christensen.
Oh, shit.
And a couple of weeks, and Kevin Patrick has been kind enough to ask me to come back and kind of emcee the deal, which I did last year. And it really worked well. In fact, that was here last year at the Fieldhouse.
Okay.
So you throw that out. It's just ironic that you say that at a time where I'm talking to McKay. And it's interesting when, I was raised in Hanford. And I mean, I could stand at my doorstep, and I'll get no point. I could stand on my front doorstep, point to Lemoore a few miles away. Ah, that's where Thomas Smith was, Olympic, a gold medalist. And I could turn the other way, go to Solari. Ah, it's Bob Mathias, two-time Olympic, a decathlon gold medalist. And I turn around and point to Kingsburg, Rafer Johnson. So there's three of the greatest athletes. When you talk about the greatest athletes in Valley history, it kind of starts there, and then it came up here. Well, McKay always works into that conversation, but, you don't have to go far when you ask that question. Trent Tompkins, who just finished up, and Kyle will talk about him at Central. What a phenomenal career. That's a guy, you definitely wanted to see every Friday night, and what he put together with the greatest careers in Valley history, and go to UC Davis, and from just a great family, Todd and his mother, and with what worked with him, and I'll talk to Kyle about this when you give him a call. That was I knew without a question when Kyle Biggs went to Central. That was if it wasn't a perfect union, it was almost perfect, and it wasn't just because of Trent Tompkins. He'll continue to win. He'll win big time. Very sharp coach. Was a perfect marriage with Trent. And then a lot of athletes there, and Kyle knows what to do with them. But yeah, you didn't have to go far. Those were two of the best, three of the best teams that we've ever seen. That Central team is right there.
So for you, Trent Tompkins, McKay Christensen on Friday nights. For me, Ricky Manning was just must see TV for me. I mean, I had to go. I had to cover. I had to shoot Edison or go to an Edison game every Friday, if I could, to watch that kid throw the ball and tackle somebody.
Tim McDonald's was the first one, if you want to stick with Edison. But, when you say Ricky Manning, he's fabulous. But I also remember Chuck Jadan, Sanger, Apaches beating him.
Yeah, you've covered it more than I have, longer than I have.
Those guys at Sanger, if you're a name, you don't remember the name, they're Ricky Manning's Todd. Tim McDonald or whatever, but they got it done. And what a career Chuck Jadan did have, but they beat Ricky Manning.
With Pete Hingano, right?
Yeah, so... Yeah, no, he definitely, and geez, I talk about McKay, Kendall Brock, what a good running back he was. I mean, we could just go on and on. And Kyle, the quarterback, he was at Clovis High. Go to all the Tim Simons teams.
First Valley championship I covered was at Bakersfield in the fog. I think they played Stockdale. You couldn't see. It was like that Eagles-Bears playoff game. It's just, I don't know where the ball is, but I hear people cheering on that side of the stadium.
It only happened, I was with the B 40 years. Only I can just remember a couple times, maybe both in Bake, where I had to walk down to the field, and not only walk to the field to watch it and keep stats, walk to the hash line, man. You know, and you could get away with it because the fog was so bad.
There you go. All right, we'll take a break, and we will get in touch with Kyle Biggs, Central High head coach, talk about all these colleges visiting his campus post-Trent Tompkins, and then we'll talk about Trent as well and the season that he's had, a very special season, video game-like campaign. We'll do that with Coach Biggs and Andy Bogard live from the Fieldhouse in the Zone, 940 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader.
You're in the Zone, sponsored by Helena Agri Enterprises, LLC, The Fieldhouse, and Fashion Furniture. Here are George Takata and Nick Anderson.
All right. Back here live at The Fieldhouse, where Andy Bogard has had the asada, is eating the asada nachos for the first time. Five-star nachos, yes?
Destroying.
Absolutely.
Abusing.
Obliterating. Abusing the nachos. Kyle Biggs will be on in just a minute, Central High head coach, and we'll both take that interview on and talk about the success that he's had there. But, boy, you can't say enough about the – it's when you think of Kyle, I think of Bill Biggs, his dad, who does so much for that offensive line and the way that they've managed to roll over guys. I mean, he doesn't do that without his father. He's a very successful assistant
coach.
Go
back. Go way back. He was doing that OL.
Clubs West.
He was, yeah. Yeah. It's just neat to see them work together, mm-hmm. and Bill to have that energy and just love for the game. He's not in it for his. I don't even know if they're paying him a stipend. I don't know if he'd even take it.
He's not taking it. Let's ask. Hey, Kyle, is your dad taking a stipend to coach for you?
What's that, George?
Hey, Kyle Biggs, Central High head coach, joining us. We're here with Andy Bogard's joining me too. So we were wondering if your dad even takes the stipend. To be your offensive line coach?
He does, but I think most of it goes towards brownie mix that he makes for the kids on every Thursday.
See, I knew he'd be giving back some at some point. hey, great. Thanks for joining us. I appreciate it. I just saw you this series of tweets or Facebook things. Thank you, Arizona State. Thank you, Oregon, for visiting our campus and talking to our kids, Fresno State. How many schools did you have visit you in such a short amount of time?
I mean, it was pretty much the whole Pac-12 and a couple of Mountain West schools. I mean, I would not the whole Pac-12. I'd say at least 12 to 15 schools have come through. Nebraska came by today. I haven't been able to tweet that one out yet.
hey, Kyle, this is Andy.
Hey, what's up, Bogart? How you doing, buddy?
Man? Hey, you know, a question when you mention you have to manage that. I assume you – do you actually, when you have that volume of colleges coming in to establish the program where you have now at Central, do you actually have an appointment book? I mean, or are they just come in carte blanche? Or how do you do that?
Some of them will text or email and try to you know, find a time, engage a time. Some will just show up. Some will just pop in. Some will – I'll get a call on my school phone. I'm in my classroom, and they'll say, hey, the coach from Oregon is on his way to see you. He'll be there shortly. Okay, cool. Thank you.
So when they come in now, Kyle, so two questions. One, what's the window? They can't do that 52 weeks. We know that. There's a certain window of contact window. How long can they come in? And two, when they come in, particularly unannounced, are you throwing in film? Are you just talking? Can they talk to athletes? How does that work exactly? What's the drill?
They can bump into athletes. So what they try to do is they try to gauge it and try to, like, the ones that contact me want to know when we're working out. So they can come by and see everyone and eyeball them. That's really what they want to do because this is the bump period. So they can come by and they can only bump into kids. They're not allowed to sit down and talk with them or hold conversations or anything like that. They can just make an initial contact, say hello, tell them who they are, and take a look at them.
Now, Arizona State came in, brought their whole staff. Now, I know it was Herman Edwards and all those guys. Now, they did steal Jamar Cain, the Fresno State defensive line coach, away. I'm sure that was part of their visit, too. But what was it like to just have, like, their whole practically, most of their staff come to your campus?
That was pretty cool because Coach Fisher, the wide receiver coach who recruits this area for Arizona State, he said it might happen. They really wanted to do it. And then I got a I got a call on Monday, and he said, hey, Wednesday we'll be there, 7:30 a.m. And I was like, okay, cool. And they all showed up, and, I mean, when Herndon Edwards started talking, I was ready to commit.
What was he saying?
Just talking about how what Arizona State has to offer and how he is going to let the best player play, no matter what year, no matter what grade, what position. They're going to be the best of 22 guys on the field, and if that's not something or a philosophy that kids believe in, then they shouldn't come to Arizona State.
And I guess it's kind of a compliment to Fresno State, right? They've had the success a couple of years. They got a lot of local guys. And the Pac-12 comes into the Valley, and I've seen some of those schools made. I think Arizona State and Herm Edwards visited, like, San Joaquin Memorial as well. It's like, hey, what is Jeff doing down there? Let's try to steal some of his guys. So it's kind of a compliment to what Jeff Tedford's doing at Fresno State, right?
It definitely is. I mean, you know, there's certain kids in this area who, you know, Fresno State, their brand of football right now is probably some of the best football they've ever had. And they're doing a great job recruiting. They're doing a great job coaching and building up that culture and that program. But, you know, let's face it, if, you know, you're a big-name kid and you want to play on ESPN and you want to play primetime, you know, there's nothing Fresno State can do to keep that kid here. But they're doing the best they can do to try to keep every kid here. And, you know, talking to a couple of the other schools that, you know, they want to offer some of our kids, and they're a little hesitant to offer our kids because they feel they offer, you know, the kid tweets it out, and then all of a sudden, you know, the Pac-12 is like, oh, who's this? Mm-hmm. Who's this that Hawaii just offered? Let's go check this kid's film out. Oh, yeah, you know, he's good. Let's offer him too. So now Hawaii's fighting with Washington State for the same kid.
Yeah. No, Kyle, that's exactly right. And that was always the issue. You know, George, you were talking at the opening of your show about Belichick and New England. This is about talent evaluation. This is about, you know, and in the case of when Pat was at Fresno State, and, you know, and Tedford up Tweed, all part of that group, they had very good ability to project. I mean, if it got out that Mankins was coming to Fresno State, he'd probably ended up at Alabama. I mean, but still, you know, he didn't come here, as Kyle, you know, he didn't come here. You know, 6'4", 300 at Fresno State. He was probably 220 pounds. And so to project, and that's, again, that's exactly what Kyle just said. So Jeff Tedford is also in that Belichick mode where he can evaluate. He can, you know, project what a guy's going to be, not at 17, at 19 or 20. And then
definitely, the diamonds in the rough.
Sure, and then he has that reputation. And if a Pac-12 school has that need, hey, if Jed Tedford thinks, you know, there's something there, it's all about credibility, and Tedford's got it. So
yes.
It's not like a Pac-12 team, if it comes in, knows Tedford's on a guy. It's not like it's a big risk. It's a respect for Jeff.
Definitely. You know, he was a Pac-12 coach before. He knows what he's doing. He's won everywhere he's been. So, I mean, if he's evaluated the kid and offered him a scholarship, the kid's probably deserving of a scholarship.
Yeah. Kyle, I want to tell you when I said this publicly at the time, I'm not just saying it after the fact, when you first went to Central, I said, uh-oh, the Drillers ain't going to beat them. Clovis Unified ain't going to beat them. I mean, every once in a while, the Drillers did get you in that first championship game, but I thought, uh-oh, this is the perfect union. If not the perfect union, this is a great coach with ability and a coach who's going to hire a great staff. It's just the perfect marriage. And it really had nothing to do at that time with Trent Tompkins. It had nothing. I just felt that was the matchup that was going to be very, very difficult to beat. I take it with all the wins aside and your experiences with the Tompkins and everyone else that you're a happy camper there with the Grizzlies.
Yeah, I do, and I appreciate everything you said right there, and everything all the articles you did, and everything you did. I mean, you were fantastic, Andy. But yeah, like you said, it's not just me. It's not there's no way I could do it by myself. I've surrounded myself with the best staff I can. I think we have the best staff in the Valley. We get great support from our admin, our district office. They do a great job of getting us everything we need to be successful. And, you know, like I said, our staff is great. And I'm not going to lie to you, Andy. I knew Trent Tompkins was at the school when I applied for the job. So I knew exactly what I was getting myself into.
Yeah. Hey, I'll give you a quick one. To change gears just a little bit, Kyle. Today I saw a big one, Kevin Charton going from Dinuba to Redwood. And Dinuba, they got it going. And you know, you were at Fowler. You know all schools. You know everyone in Duval. That one kind of turned my head a little bit. I mean, that you leave Dinuba and all those big Harleys revving up before the games in that beautiful stadium. I mean, they got it going, man. That is really a neat program.
That one's very surprising because the thing is it, you know, Dinuba wasn't, you know, I don't remember them, you know, when I played or in the early years of when I was coaching. So what Coach Charton's done is he built that thing from the ground up, and to see him just, you know, I mean, he's got a lot of love for Redwood because that'd be a tough gig to leave because he's done a great job over there.
Talk about, you know, what the legacy that Trent Tompkins leaves behind for you. I mean, I'm pretty sure that there's some of the reasons why you get all these visits is because of the success you've had, obviously, and it's in large parts of what Trent was able to do for a few years there. The gaping hole that's obviously left leaving behind, but who's going to come in and fill in those shoes for him next year?
You know, George, you hit the nail on the head right there, man. The reason we have been so good the last 3 years, you know, coaching's had a lot to do with it, but we've had really good players. So that really good players help you look really smarter than you are sometimes. Trent makes me look a lot smarter than I am. So these guys, they know we have players and they're coming through. We've had a couple kids transfer in, one from Clovis North, DJ Frampton, and one from Edison who was at Central first before he left, Jamison Silva. And then we have a good quarterback coming up from our JV team, Nate Gonzalez. So, you know, they're just going to get a chance to battle, and we're going to meet, we're going to game plan, and they're going to, you know, learn the offense and learn the X's and O's and reads and schemes. And, you know, we're going to go through a summer of 7-on-7s and spring ball and workouts and OTAs. And, you know, the best player is going to play. Whoever's leading the team for touchdowns is the guy who's going to get on the field.
Hey, Kyle, what people – I don't know if people will ever recognize enough about Tim Simons is I always told him, keep the wishbone. I love that wishbone so much, keep it. But you know, he, as the game evolved, he did also. And I mean, it went from bone to veer to spread to whatever. Are you going to be that type of coach? Or will you, I mean, obviously you can't do everything in the playbook that you did with Trent, with maybe the next guy. But are you going to stick with a system, or are you going to adjust to the talent that you have on the table?
A good coach has to adjust to his talent. You know, my first year we were a tight end team and three wide receivers, and you know we ran power and we ran gap schemes, and you know the last 2 years we've been strictly four wide and we spread them out, and you know our concepts have changed. We've done a really good job, and football's football, so it's going to change. And you know, if we get a different set of kids in here, if we get 2'6", 250-pound kids who can run and are tight ends, then, yeah, we're going to be in a double tight end set, you know. Whatever the personnel we have is what we're going to do. And I had the luxury to play for Coach Simons and not only play for him but have my dad coach with him. So I was a ball boy, and, I've been sitting in on a lot of meetings with Coach Simons. And I learned a lot from him with my coaching style. And the number one thing he did was – he surrounded himself with great coaches, and he let him coach. He didn't, he didn't micromanage. He didn't, he let them coach. That's what you brought these guys here to do, let them coach, let them build relationships with those kids, and, you know, we're going to win this thing by the culture we've developed. And that's the blueprint that I've taken with me to Central.
Hey, Kyle, one last thing before we let you go. I do this occasionally with athletes, coaches specifically. I like to get into the play description of things, especially football. So if you can give me the longest description of an offensive play that you have in your playbook, can you say it for us, or something that that resembles it? I'm blown away by the how precise it has to be and how wordy it is. You got one?
Yeah, so I can give you one from 3 years ago.
Okay.
The new system we run is very it's simple. So I'll give you the one from 3 years ago, and then I'll give you the one we've been using lately.
Okay.
So we would call Mustang right switch, Mustang right switch X fly 23 zone.
I'm sure there's a formation in there somewhere.
Yeah, you get the formation. You're telling the receivers which one has to switch to be on the ball, which one has to be off the ball, who's motioning, and then the actual play call. Or you can call Mustang right switch, 151, X-Dragon.
And how many plays do you have in your playbook?
Offense. I used to be double-sided. I was double-sided, and it's so many plays you can't practice them. You don't have time. I actually went down and met with Coach Logan down at Centennial Corona, and he blew my mind when he showed me his call sheet, and it was very simple. So since then, we've simplified it. So now those same play calls would just be Scat Dragon.
That's it.
A Scat Dragon. That's it.
Yeah, well, things get a lot simple when you have Trent Tompkins.
Yeah, that is very true.
Hey, I got to give you one more, Kyle. Jeff Tedford hangs around. You get a call someday. Mm-hmm. Hey, Kyle, I need an OC. I mean, come on. I mean, your reputation's out there.
I'd be flattered. I would definitely consider it. You know, a lot of people have dreams and aspirations. My dream, my hero, my aspiration, not only is my father, who's been a high school coach his whole life, but Tim Simons. And I want to set the coaching record for, you know, most wins at a high school and all that. But if Coach Tedford called and needed an offensive coordinator, if it was right and I got my wife's approval and she signed off on it, then that would be a hard gig to pass up.
Yeah, be a pretty good six-figure deal. Hey, Kyle, we got to let you go. Hey, happy anniversary. I think you celebrated that last week, and appreciate the time, man, and we'll do it again soon.
I appreciate it, George. You guys do a great job. Have a great day.
Hey, thank you. Kyle Biggs joining us. Love that guy. Got to take a break. We'll wrap up this edition of The Zone from the Fieldhouse, 940 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader. All right. Wrapping up this edition of The Zone in the Fieldhouse. Andy Bogart, thank you for joining me. Kyle Biggs, Dante Marsh. Next week, the Super Bowl edition. Maureen Brady will be back. Tom Brady's oldest sister, who we will discuss about the Super Bowl. She'll be joining me live from Atlanta. We'll have Cameron Worrell, efforting Henry Ellard. Big Super Bowl show. Andy's on his way to Clovis East, Clovis North with me to watch a great track battle. The winner will stay in first place in the track. We'll talk to you again next Friday live from the Fieldhouse here in The Zone. 940 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader. Have a great weekend, everybody.